For sure. We give God the glory for that. We're blessed to be here today. Amen. It's like when you're in school, you know, you got that substitute teacher. When you go in the classroom, you're trying to get a read on which one you got, Brother Don. You know what I'm saying? Whoo, there's times I hit the classroom and we was excited. There's times we hit the classroom and we wasn't so excited, right? Because you're looking at, there's that substitute teacher that everybody wants to be, and then there's that one that's like, oh boy, well. I really try to be that one that everybody likes. That's my goal. But today, Mike gave me a to-do list and be that one that nobody likes. Amen? When I leave here today, it's going to be mud. He said, hey, I want you to pick up right there on the women. Finish that text out. And I'm like, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah, old Mikey, baby. He's got a sense of humor at times. We give God the glory for old Mike. But now really, we're excited to be here. I'm going to catch us up on that and then move forward a little bit into a place where I realistically believe that that we're lacking, and that's men accountability, women accountability, men in the homes, women in the homes. That looks so different for so many people. But we're going to talk about that. And hey, if we believe God's word's true, then we believe God's word's true. Amen? And so the text speaks, God's Holy Spirit guides us, and so that's what we do. Let me pray. God, speak to our heart today in the text. We love you. We thank you for all you do. God, let your word help us. God, help us. In whatever way, however it looks, you know that, God, you know our plans. You formed us in the womb. God, we all need your word differently today in many ways. I need it a little different than someone else, and someone else needs it a little different than. And God, I just pray that it does what it's supposed to do to our heart, God. And we thank you for it. Be blessed, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Miss Linda Franklin's in the house. Miss Linda, we love you. I had attended two funerals, Mr. James Franklin, and then a brother of ours from another service that I served with for years, Brother Keith Dickey. Both men this week passed away. And so I just want to talk a little bit about those funerals. I was a part of one, and I wasn't the other. But to hear the godly counsel and the godly people that spoke at these funerals, something was very characteristic. You've seen a lot. It was repetitive. Both men are godly. I had the privilege to serve with both men. And let me just say this. We give God the glory for being able to preach a service of someone that loved Jesus like Brother James Franklin did. Amen. Man, there were so many tears shed at that funeral, both of them. But both men loved Jesus. They both had different callings. They both served Jesus differently at times, both deacons, two different places. But their heart was for the gospel. Their heart was for you to know Jesus, and if you didn't, they wanted to get that message to you. The delivery was a little different both ways, but I found it to be very interesting that at both funerals, all the people that spoke at every funeral was able to say that, more importantly, the one thing they wanted you to leave both funerals hearing was that particular person loved Jesus, and they would want you to love Jesus. Amen? And so it just led me to believe that one day when somebody preaches my funeral, what's that going to be like? When somebody preaches your funeral, what's that going to be like? What are they going to be able to say? What are they going to be able to do? I pray, more importantly, that they can say you're a believer in the Lord, but also that you understood your calling in your life. Now, we're not telling you you're called to be a pastor, preacher, speaker every week, but we are telling you that, moms and dads, you're called to be the leader of your home. Dad, you're called to be the pastor of your home. Mom, you're called to be the heart of your home. Amen? And with that, today we're going to dabble in some of that. And I think it's important. I think it's obviously in the Word. And Mike didn't pick. He just started the Timothy series. And so he's going to work through the whole book. And so we don't intentionally preach. You may leave here today and go, he knew something, or he said something. We have no idea what you're talking about. We're preaching the gospel, and if it does what the word's supposed to do, then glory be to God. Amen? It's not for us. So let me just pick up. And let me say this too. This text today in our preaching, I'm going to do three different places. I'm breaking some rules in the Bible scholar world and in the school and seminary and all those great things they would tell you don't bounce around too much. Well, I'm going to bounce around just a touch because Mike wanted me to clear up some things out of 1 Timothy that is referencing out of Genesis chapter 3. And so we'll boom, 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 and then we'll get into it. But with that being said, this is by no means a text to downgrade women or men or to make you feel in any way that you're not worthy. We just sing about God's worthy and He makes you worthy. Amen. You're only going to enter into heaven by His righteousness. Let's just go ahead and get that out there. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You can't buy your way in. You can't pray your way in. All you can do is repent and follow Him as Lord and Savior. Amen. We all agree on that. And so all those things, none of these texts are that. We give God the glory for His inspired word. We want it to speak to our heart. But let me just say this. The world is a pipeline for Satan to confuse and dilute the gospel and to downplay the holy word of God. Amen? We're seeing that in the world. The church, flip that, the church is a pipeline or an avenue to share the truth of the gospel and to disciple Christians of today. That's what the church does. The church shares the gospel. We want to win souls. We want to disciple the believers, equipping the saints, as Ephesians says. And so by doing that, we take the Word of God and we preach and teach it and we let the Word of God do what the Word of God does. It's not us, it's Jesus. And so Mike is preaching through 1 Timothy and he stops pretty much right around verse 12. I'm going to pick up and just hit 13 through 15. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, 13 through 15. And then we're going to shoot out to Genesis 3 and talk for a minute and then we'll get into the sermon. So let's just pick up right here. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into righteousness. Nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. We know by the text in Genesis, and we'll see in a minute, that God created Adam first. We know that. We know that a woman came from man, came from Adam, and we know there was a charge given to both. We also know this, that the woman did sin first. We know that the serpent came and deceived her. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let me just tell you what's not going on here. There's not a downplay of the woman in the home, in the household, in ministry, meaning just in general calling, what you're called to do. Mike talked about who can lead and who can't lead. We're not getting into that today. But Paul makes this statement, nevertheless, you'll be saved in childbearing. We would never tell you that having children is your gateway to heaven. That's a false teaching as well. What Paul does stress here is that there will be an opportunity through childbearing for the woman to lead and raise and birth a generation of godly children and to have a godly influence on anyone they are in contact with. Amen? Nobody said amen. No, that's the purpose. Women, the childbearing that God gave you the ability to have was not for you to get into heaven, but for you to birth and raise children and assist the man in living the home, and so you would have a godly influence in everything you had the opportunity to do. Because here's what we do know. The woman did lead the human race into sin, but she has the opportunity, it's a great quote, she has the opportunity to lead the human race into salvation by being an example of a godly woman, watch this, in faith, love, holiness, and self-control. John MacArthur quotes that. That's a fantastic quote. Ladies, you have the opportunity to birth kids, to raise kids. The woman is the heart of the home. We talk about that all the time. The male is called to lead the home. Ephesians chapter 5 is one of the places we'll talk about that. We're not getting into that today, but God has set forth an order. It's not an order of power or authority, but as much as it's an order of headship and health. Amen? Why would we want to undermine or reroute the gospel and the teachings to basically dilute the gospel to fit what we would want it to do? We would say we wouldn't want to do that. That's sin. We don't want to change the holy word of God. We want God's order to be God's order. Amen? And so when he closes chapter 2 there in verse 15, it's a reference out of Genesis chapter 3. I want to go to Genesis chapter 3 and spend some time there for just a minute. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Here's your reference. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, it starts in verse 1, and it's going to work down through the serpent and how he told Eve, hey, did God really say that? No, he didn't really say that. He just knows you're going to be knowledgeable if you eat it. And maybe he convinces her to take eat of the tree and to pass that on. Now, watch this in verse 9. This is interesting to me. Then the Lord called to Adam. When God re-enters here and comes back into the picture, who does he call to? The headship of the home, the one he set first in the garden, Adam. He didn't say, Eve, what'd you do? He said, Adam, where are you at? Now, let me ask you this. Do you think God didn't know where Adam was? No, we would say God knew where Adam was. God's all-knowing God. Here's what we would say. The accountability process started immediately. God knew that Eve had sinned and convinced Adam to eat. And so when he re-enters to hold accountable the people that have sinned and fallen short, watch this, he re-enters the way he created, through the headship, through Adam. Adam, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Jesus said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? The man said, the woman you gave me to be with, she gave me of the tree. And I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Now, did anybody catch the ring here in Genesis chapter 3? That God, when he comes back on scene, when he re-enters, he talks to the man, Adam. Adam turns around and blames God and Eve. God, you gave me Eve, and she gave me the fruit. Then he addresses Eve. Eve, what have you done? The serpent made me do it. Not one time has anybody took accountability for disobeying God's word. Nobody. We're pointing fingers. We've got more fingers pointing than anybody can imagine here. You did it, God. You gave me the woman. God, Eve. Eve said, hey, the serpent did it. At the end of the day, can I be honest with you? The Lord knows your heart according to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It's desperately wicked and evil, and he's the only one that can judge it. There comes a time in our life, and you're going to have to amen this statement, that you have to own your sin to be sin. Amen? You have to own your sin. I had a great mentor tell me one time, the more personal you make your sin with God, the more repentant you'll be. In other words, okay, God, I've sinned. Well, what's the sin? Because this morning, I prayed specifically for a sin that I knew I had done, but I also prayed a blanket prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Anybody done that this morning? Lord, forgive me of my sin. Turn that generic prayer into a specific prayer and start to name your sin back to the Lord, and you'll start to see a difference in how you sin next time. Amen? Because when you begin to name the things that you're doing, it starts to be more personal, and I pray that it's more convicting. I pray that that the conviction of the Holy Spirit starts to change your desire, that you no longer turn there. That's not where you're headed. You're the new creation, because that's what the Bible teaches. All the old things are gone. You're now new. And so I just ask you this. Why blame your sin on somewhere else? Why pass it along? Why is it that us, as humans, as soon as we get in trouble, this is classic. Everybody in the house raising kids, amen. Everybody knows this is classic. I didn't do it. He did it, right? And then they go, mama, I didn't do it. They did it. She did it. She told me to do it. It's been going on since the garden, right? Nobody wants to take responsibility for being disobedient to the Lord. Well, Paul's going to reference that when he starts to talk about that in 1 Timothy. We just wrapped that up in 13 and 15 in the accountability and responsibility. Let me just ask you this. When's the last time you just looked at the Lord and said, Lord, expose sin that I have covered? Because if you ask the Lord to expose sin that you cover, there's a chance you'll be praying about a new sin you didn't know you was doing. There's a chance that the Lord would say, you want to know? Well, here it is. When your personal relationship goes to another level with God, you'll start to see more things in your life that's not godly. Amen? That's not godly. Our goal as any male and female in the house today is to live a godly life, to be responsible and accountable for what God has put under us. Amen? And to what God has given us, whether it be a spouse, a fiance, a wife, whatever the case may be, our responsibility, one, is to serve and love God, but two, to be accountable and responsible for our sin. On this earth, we have to be repentant, and we have to say, God, show us and tell us what you would have. Powers read this a while ago. Well, he didn't read it, but I wanted to read it. He referenced it, and just listen to this. 2 Timothy, Paul writes this. I didn't put this in. Sorry about that. Paul writes this letter, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here we go. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Watch. For reproof, for correction, and for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? The Word of God stands true. We lean on it or we don't. You can't ride two horses with one hiney. Amen? You got to stand somewhere. The Word's got to be the Word, or the Word can't be the Word. Right? We got to love Jesus and say, I tell you what, I'm making a stand today, and here it is. I'm drawing a line in the sand. And when you draw the line in the sand, you may not be popular. You may lose a friend. You may have to take a stand to explain why you took it. Hey, explain to me why you stand there. But at the end of the day, can I promise you this, believer, Christian, child of God, if you take the stand for the glory of God, who is the only one you're worried about knowing? God. We give God the glory for what we do. We're not taking a stand to make a show. We take a stand to give God the glory, because one day, I promise you this, you will stand before the Lord. In one or two ways, as a believer or unbeliever, you will stand before the Lord and be accountable for your actions. We can't get out of that. That's Scripture. Well, for the sermon, because all that was the intro. Amen? Y'all ready? Titus chapter 2, Paul writes, and we're going to look at it. Paul writes this to Titus, another minister there, and he's going to write a healthy church scenario. He's going to give us some man and women roles. I think it's important. I think it changes the game for a church when they become healthy. Amen? I personally believe with all my heart that when a church takes a stand for a biblical stance and becomes healthy over trying to be popular or big, God honors every part of what they're doing. Somebody say amen. I believe that with all my heart. Well, Paul's going to write to Titus here, and he's going to give him just a few things. We don't have time to stay. Well, we might, but if we don't, we're going to cut it off. Let me just say this. Chapter 2 in Titus, it's just a couple of pages down to your right. Just flip them to the left. Paul again writes this letter. This was what I was studying prior to Mike finishing up 1 Timothy, because I was actually studying a different text at the end. But let's talk about this. Paul writes this in verse 1. Check this out. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Hallelujah. Paul writes right out of the gate to say this. You're going to have to take a stand somewhere. You have got to let people know where you are and how you are. Now, Mike gave out some tertiary, secondary. There's another word. What's the other one, Powers? There's another word that, you know, when you start talking about things that are important, we wouldn't budge on the Virgin Mary birth. We wouldn't budge on God being, or Jesus being the only way. But there's some things on down the line that are argumentative. Well, here's what Paul is going to encourage Titus to do. Take the stand and let the doctrine be sound. Amen? Get inside the Word of God. Know where you stand and let it stand. Why? Well, true biblical teachings, what is it for? Well, so we don't ashamed the gospel. So we don't make the gospel ashamed. All right, watch what he says. Verse 2, y'all ready? Everybody seatbelted in. Say, I'm listening. All right, here it is. This is some good teaching for a godly man and a godly woman, and I think it's very important. That older men be sober, reverent, temperament, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Let's talk about it. The older man be sober. Here's what scholars and theologians say about that. Obviously, there was some issues there, but there was some downtime. And when you have a lot of downtime and these older men didn't have anything to do, they started to get in the bottle a little much. Probably a little too much drinking. Well, here's what Paul's going to tell Titus. Hey, when you're setting your men up and we're talking about just a good, godly, healthy church, we need to avoid that. We don't need our older men deep in the bottle. We don't need the place where alcohol will carry. There's nothing good behind taking the drink. Just leave it alone. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Amen? Just move on and don't get hung in that. Watch this. Be reverent. When we start talking about being reverent, we start talking about being that person. They kind of all three go together. Matter of fact, reverent, temperament, sound in faith, all those. But listen to me. Older men. Hey, nobody wants that hot-headed old man that knows it all, right? Non-respectful, disrespectful, just That's not a picture of a good, godly man here that Paul writes about in Titus chapter 2. Your temperament. How do you carry yourself? Are you hot-headed? Are you argumentative? Why would we argue? I think the Bible's clear. He'll write here just a little while later on. We won't see it today. But he'll write that sometimes these useless arguments are for nothing. Don't get into them. But then sometimes you got to stand for your faith. And you got to say, here's the sound doctrine. This is where we're at. When he starts to lay out these, they're not qualifications. I would say they're actually virtues. They're signs of what he's teaching for us to have in a good, sound church. Watch this. He makes this statement: to be sound in faith, in love, and in patience. I think that defines two of the men that we had funerals for this week. I really do. I think James. I never seen James get sideways. You might have. I didn't. I never seen this old gentleman get sideways. You knew where he stood. He loved the Lord. He had faith in the Lord. I think these are good examples of what Titus is hearing from Paul here in chapter 2. Now, what's this? The older women likewise. Now we're back to our women. Hey, there's some good teaching here. That they may be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. Well, let's talk about that. Again, he's going to say this. You got to have your good women. You got to have the older women that's going to lead the younger generation. Amen? Listen, we're at a... I have a teenage daughter. She'll love this. In our home, the one of our number one discussions constantly would be what? What are you wearing? How's it look? How short is it? How long is it? Can I see through it? Amen? Talk to me, Mark. You've been there. It's a struggle for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I pray a lot. Amen? I pray a lot. Well, here's what we're going to see. The text would say this. Older women, one, you've got to obtain the virtues. But older women, teach these younger girls, teach these younger women how to dress, how to respect herself, what it means. He's going to lay this thing out in chapter 2 of Titus here, which is going to be a beautiful picture. But let me just be honest with you. The first thing you got to have is these virtues. You yourself. The older women, you can't wear it and then say, do as I say, not as I do. Amen? No. You can't have a mouth that's like a dumpster. Amen? Some people, I work with some people, woo boy. Listen, we can't have bad virtues. We've got to obtain what he says. Now, check this out. It's not the can'ts, it's the cans. Notice he says to be, to have action. To show, it ain't, oh my gosh, you're back on what women can't do in the church and how does women do. No. We're saying this. Paul is telling the women what to do in the church and how to act. Older women, likewise, be reverent in your behavior. Be reverent in your behavior, not slanders. Hey, don't be talking about everybody. Don't run around. We know what this is. Not giving into much wine. Again, he's going to make this play here. He's already made it on the men. He's back in here on the women. Hey, don't be attracted to the bottle. Leave the bottle alone. There's no good in the bottle. Has anybody ever just got hammered and thought that was a great day? No. Has anybody ever got hammered and just thought I'll bust open the Bible and have a Sunday school class? No. You ever been hammered and dialed somebody up saying I'll invite you to church tomorrow? No. And then he moves on and says this, teachers of good things. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a group of ladies in my mind as I studied for this that I could continue to look at. Probably some of your grandmamas. Your grandmama acted different, right? Your mamas. When we start to look at this, we know who the godly women are, and we can name them over time. We see them. We know people that truly love the Lord. Would y'all agree with that? If you're in the house today, and this is a participation question, and a godly woman has affected your life in some way, would you raise your hand? Ladies, look at that. There's an influence there. Hey, my mama drug me to church whether I wanted to go or not, right? There's an influence there. Now, verse 4, check this out. That they admonish the young women to love their husband and to love their children. Can I be honest with you today? I did a Barna study and just checked out the divorce rate among church members. It's staggering. I'm going to be honest with you. It's no different. We're starting to match the world. When they did a study on a select group of believers and non-believers, honestly, when it was all said and done, it was about a 1% difference. Now, here's what's sad about that. As a church believer Christian, you should have a different belief about your marriage and your covenant than they do. Amen? They don't even understand really what they got into. A non-professing married person, one who doesn't know the Lord, don't even understand the covenant of why they did what they did, okay? That cannot match the church house. We as believers have to learn to fight through, work through, seek the Lord, and let the Lord guide us through. We can't get to a place to where we give up. It's easy to give up. It's like $4.99, $5.99. You'll see it on a billboard sign. Just give up. Don't work through. Don't fight for them. Here's what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 4. Hey, older women, admonish. You got to do that sometimes with some hard love. Anybody ever heard that word? Admonish, some hard. Give the young women a hard love, a good talk to love their husband and love their children. Now, be careful, because your children can become your God. Your husband can become your God, right? Anything that's above the Lord can become your God. You got to be careful. But love your children. Support your children. Be an encourager to your children, right? That's our job. That's what we do. We love our husband as ourselves. I was watching a family, I won't point them out, David and Donna Snow, but I was watching during worship, and David's holding Donna's hand right behind me. I bent down to get my drink. Listen to me, there's some times that we look at couples and we see, love your husband. Hey, you can hold your wife's hand in church, amen? I mean, don't go much further, but you're all right right there. Hold your wife's hand. Hey, don't be ashamed of who God's given you, right? The Lord, hey, your wife is a gift. Ladies, your husband's a gift. Love your husband. Love your husband. Love your children. It's just staggering here. And there's a warning here. In order to admonish women, hey ladies, in order to be this person, you have to exemplify these qualifications and virtues. You have to have them. Have you ever tried to talk to someone and the whole time you're talking to them, they're probably thinking, why is this dude talking to me about this when he can't even, whatever that is, get it under control? Amen? Don't do the because I say. I would say this, there's a lot of godly women in the house today and have been for years that didn't need to really say a word. It's how they live. People knew who they stood for, right? It's who they loved. It's how they worship. It was the heart they had, right? Hey, ladies, people's watching you. Your children's watching you. Your husband's watching you. There's not a husband in the world that don't want you to pursue them and flip that. Ladies, men, there's not a wife in the world that don't want you to pursue that. Don't be so proud that you won't seek help, counsel, the Lord, if something's not right in your home. Don't be so proud that you'll let it fail before you reach out to someone. Paul writes to Titus to get it right. Watch this in verse 5, because he's still talking to my older women right here. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husband. Changes the word. We went from love your husband to obedient. We'll talk about that in a minute. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's a huge word. Me and Powers take this word, man, and we dissect it over and over and over. Because, look, it's controversial. When you start blaspheming the Holy Spirit and God, what does that look like? Well, we'll talk about it in a minute. Hey, discreet, ladies. Unobstructive, unnoticeable. These are just some things that I've seen. Chaste, a pure heart. Hey, they kind of go together. Just a purity. Watch this, homemakers. The Bible don't teach that you can't work, ladies. The Bible don't teach that at all, but what the Bible would say is you have a huge impact on your home, a huge impact. You've always heard it say, ladies are the homemakers, right? Ladies are the heart of the home. Ladies are the heart of the home. We say that a lot, but listen to me. There's an important, effective change that you can make inside the home. Again, we're on the cans, not the canes. Hey, don't focus on and don't let Satan tell you what you're not good at and who you are. Let's look at this word, a little four-letter word. It's interesting to me, good. What in the world? How did he put that in there? It's almost like he's tired, right? He just threw good in there. Well, look, hey, good. Just be good. What does that mean? That's a lot. It could be a lot of different things. Good in who you are. Good in how you talk. Good in what you do. Good in how you serve. Good. There's a lot of things that go with good. Check this out. Obedient to their own husbands. Well, boy, here we go. We could wreck this one, right? It ain't loving anymore. It's you do whatever he says. No, that ain't it either. Being obedient to your husband. Hey, if you study Ephesians chapter 5, if you study where God talks about the home, you'll find that God in Ephesians chapter 5 tells the man to love the woman as himself, which is interesting to me because also we would say, ladies, love your husband as yourself. Can I be honest with you? It's hard for you to love somebody else if you don't love yourself. Would y'all agree with that? Ladies, you have to love yourself, and then out of the obedience of what the Lord says, you're loving your husband based on who God is, not realistically who he is. We don't necessarily love our spouse because of them. We love our spouse because we love Jesus. Amen? And I'm going to be honest with you, there's times that, and it's a running joke, and we all probably do it, I don't know, but at some point, there's times that I'll say, hey, you're not being like Jesus, right? Or she'll say, that wasn't really godly-like, or we'll just throw that around. But let's be honest, we love our spouse based on the love that God put in us for himself, for ourselves, and for our spouse. We have to love our spouse as equal to ourself, but less than the Lord, right? If anybody ever seen the picture, God's at the top, and it comes down the headship of the male, and then the male and the female, and it branches off into the children. We have to keep it right. Why? Well, because the Lord says it that way, not because we do. We're not trying to be dictators, and we're not trying to tell you something wrong. What we're trying to say is husbands and wives love each other, serve each other, wash each other's feet, and do whatever the Lord would have you to do. Amen? That's what the Word says. Why would we do that? Because he just said, so the Word of God is not blasphemy. So you're not making the Word of God ineffective, and you're not making the Word of God a liar. Listen to me. If we don't do what God says, and again, bear with me here, but when you see a couple out, wherever you see them, or you see a person, a human, a spouse, a wife, a husband, whatever the case is, and you're watching them close, if they don't act as the Bible has called us to, then they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Realistically, they're making the Word of God, they're blaspheming it. God's taught us how to act. God's told us how to love. God's told us how to live in our marriage. And when we don't do that, we're making the Word of God a liar. We're not doing what God's called us to do. We're being hypocritical. It's the word that everybody loves to talk about. Well, he's a hypocrite. Well, I would say this. No, we're in sin, and we need to repent of that sin. Amen? And we need to seek the Lord. God's clear. God wants us to be, I don't think he's concerned with you necessarily being happy, but God wants you to have a biblical home that loves him and loves your children. God don't have a problem with that. And he says that because he wants you to honor his word. Likewise, in verse 6, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. We start talking about this. Well, he gets off of just the drinking. Now he's on just clear thoughts. Just an encouragement base, but sensible, level-headed thinking. We want our children, we want our young men to understand a lot of things that maybe I can't teach them as the dad. I truly believe that their mom puts things in them that I can't, and maybe even if I could, it's not the right way. Amen? I believe with all my heart that they have a mom for a reason, and that's why in the text, Paul gives Titus an opportunity here to say, look, when they're doing this, they need to exhort the young men as well. But here, hear me, to be sober-minded, to have a thought process that's not aggressive. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. Bad attitudes, bad tempers. Hey, I'm hot-headed. By the way, none of that's in the Bible. All that you want to justify that you have is just because you want to justify it, right? I did read where the Bible says, be angry, do not sin. But I hadn't read where you can just be a bad kid or have a bad attitude or be hot-headed, and we're all supposed to be okay with that. And I didn't read that part yet. And I wouldn't say that it's in there. I'm just saying it's not in there where I've seen it. Verse 7, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern for good works. Check this out. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Those words marriage, again, they're all married in there together. But check this out. Showing yourself to be a pattern of good work. Ladies, I'm going to be honest with you. Today, somebody's looking at you and watching you. I don't care what that looks like, who it is. When we start to talk about we're a believer, people watch what we say. Oh, boy, this is going to sting. They watch what you say on social media. Hey, some of y'all Facebook folks, woo, you know what I mean? Back it down a little bit because somebody's reading that, right? Like, if Jesus read it, and I can hear some of them now, I erased the post before I hit send. Before you send it, reread that thing. Amen? Read it twice or three times. And if you still feel like God's telling you to send that baby on. But I'm going to be honest with you. More times than not, it ain't God. It's Satan. Amen? He's trying to stir you up. If he can get inside of you and break you down in any way, have you ever thought about this? Let's just say today you was going to make social media, hey, you TikTokers and Instagrammers. Let's just say you was going to make a not-so-popular post. If you allow Satan to get in there and start to break down your integrity, who you are, your character, do you think or have you ever thought of who you could have influenced later on in the day if Satan hadn't got inside of you and messed you up? Because there's a good chance that when that Instagram, TikTok, whatever y'all do, hits the social media wave, that you lose some character and integrity with somebody who God had you set up to witness to later. Have you ever thought about that? Hey, an adult, have you ever thought about when you was talking filthy, fill in the blank, whatever you was doing out in public and you wasn't representing Christ at all, the one you couldn't see in the shadow that God had set up for you to talk to later, what did that do to that person? Sometimes I think we're so selfish, we don't care. Why? Because I got a platform, I got a phone, and I'll just say what I want to say, right? That's the mentality we have. It's the world today to where you can't tell me what I can and can't say, and I'm not doing that. But what I am telling you is God has told you what you can and cannot say. Amen? You just forgot. Why? Because you ain't read, you ain't studied, and you ain't prayed. And somehow you think that we're supposed to just input this in, like just impute this word into you today. Listen to me. You have got to leave this building and have a relationship with God that's more than on Sunday morning. It can't just be that Mike preaches really good and you love to come hear him and you leave and you close that Bible up and you stick it away and 7 days later you pull that baby back out and you open it up and you go, hey, this is where Mike was. We're going to pick up right here. No. Every single day, it's work to live a godly life. Somebody say amen. It's hard not to, because I want to say things that Justin wants to say. That's not biblical, right? I want to say sometimes things that you say, right? Like there's times me and Michael pull out, and he's like, man, I want to respond with this because, one, it's probably unbiblical, or, two, it's wrong or infactual. It doesn't even make sense what some people put out there. And instead of hitting the post, I know power struggles with this too. Instead of hitting go, we just erase it. It's hard to do that because why? Well, you feel like they won. That's what we do. We're like, golly, they won. I didn't get to say what I wanted to say. Listen to me. That's not a pattern of good works. That's not keeping doctrine in integrity. Your character and integrity is all you got. Amen? And I'm going to be honest with you. It's easy when you're at the top to have good doctrine and good integrity. Good character and good integrity. It's hard when you're in the valley. When everybody's walking on top of your head, you feel like you're down in the mud. That's the hardest part. That's when God says you should shine the most. Why? Because he's in the valley. Amen? He's the God of the hilltop. He's the one we serve. God is faithful. We don't serve for ourselves. We don't serve for other people. Well, we're getting late. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 makes this statement. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Let me tell you what that says. As much as depends on you, sometimes you just have to say, Lord, I'm done with that, and move on. Right? Not respond ugly, not fight for the fight, not try to have vengeance, but simply say, God, I've made my peace, I've apologized, I've said this, fill in the blank, whatever the case is, as much as it depends on you. Paul writes there to the church at Rome, you can only do so much sometimes, but when you get there, live peaceably. Live peaceably. You don't have to have a bad attitude. We don't have to have a mouth that's not godly. We don't have to get into the verse 7, not having good integrity and reverence and incorruptibility. But that's what Paul's telling Titus. Hey, try to keep yourself a level playing field. Be the bigger person. It's the hardest thing to teach. You've heard it. We grew up saying, well, you need to be the biggest person, right? So, sticks and stones might break my bones. Y'all know all them sayings. Y'all said them for years. There's sometimes that's a biblical truth that we just got to do. You know what? I'm a believer. I'm done with that. I've said my piece. I've said it biblically, and I'm moving on. And then sometimes God will let you stand and fight a fight that's needed to be fought, whatever that looks like. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. Powers, y'all come on up. Here's the question. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to get in the next section. Let me just say this. Men, women, We're all a believer of the Most High God. The most important part of what we do as being a believer to the Most High God is serving the Most High God. Repentance of your sin, changing your life, living for the glory of God is the most important thing that you could do. As I was reading and preparing for this text, I went back to my mind of two men this week that we buried. I've already said it over and over. But I couldn't help but think of the life that they lived and how they lived it. Now, it wasn't perfect. They wasn't Jesus. But they lived a life that when people start to talk about doctrine, integrity, reverence, faithfulness, love, I felt like they was defining one of our own, Brother James Franklin. I felt like I seen that in person when I was beginning to look at the text and I was listening to what God was telling me. A goal for me and you is not what we can't do in the Bible, but it's what God's called us to do. It's the can, not the can't. God, ladies, can I just be honest with you? Young and old, you have a purpose in the kingdom of God. You have a purpose in your home. Whatever you're doing, I pray that you seek the Lord to do that. I pray that you seek His direction and say, God, use me for your glory. I personally tell you that older women is partly responsible for where I stand today. I promise you that when I accepted the call to preach the gospel, the first person that came up to me to pray with me was a female. Now, she didn't even know. But what I'm telling you is God uses women in the gospel. Amen. God uses women at the bare minimum. You've got to raise godly children. Have a godly marriage. You may not ever go into ministry working with children or doing anything that's biblical. But you have a purpose that's biblical. And He set that forth. And He says, here it is. And here's you a list of things that are godly. My prayer, and I look at Miss Glenda. Miss Glenda, we're twinsies today. Miss Glenda, you look pretty, and I do too. But we say Miss Glenda's like our grandmother on staff. She'll straighten us up when we get out. We'll ask her opinion. She'd give us a little bit of that older generation. We need that sometimes, right? Because sometimes we get hung and we forget. But Miss Glenda, keep us straight. I look at people like Miss Glenda. I look at those people and I say, they're godly. They love Jesus. I pray that that's what we're raising. Would y'all agree with that? I pray that that's what you're raising, that your kids would love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. They would love Him and worship Him and share Him. That's a goal for us. Today, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to seek Him. I'm not telling you you got to come down front, but I am going to ask you this, to ask the Lord God where you stand with Him. Repent of your sin. Give your life to the Lord. Wherever you're at, Facebook Live, Union Hill, I don't know where you're at, Idaho Falls, wherever you're at. If you don't know Jesus, you can't exemplify any of these characteristics or virtues because you don't know Jesus. Ah, you may be a good person. Good people don't go to heaven just because they're good. Amen? The only way you go to heaven is knowing Jesus. And I pray that if that's you today, that you repent, turn from your ways, and seek Him for the glory of Him. Let us pray. God, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to teach Your word. And God, we do pray today for this church, God, that's full of people. God, our prayer is that if someone in here that don't know You, God, that You would, God, hear their voice as they repent to You, God, and the Holy Spirit, we're asking You, God, to save souls and then equip saints. Help us, God, to teach and move forward. And may You get the glory, God. May we stand and worship You in spirit and truth. Let our heart not be wrong, but God, let our heart be right for Your glory. We love You, God, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.